Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. On the show today, we have the Sensei leader, Jim Bouchard, talking credit union leadership, so check it out. Give us a quick 411 on what you, I mean, you present at a lot of credit union conferences, and again, you're all about leadership. Can you give us a quick 411 on what, kind of what you're all about here?
Well, sure. Well, the challenges in the credit union leadership sphere really aren't any different than any other industry, but what's really exciting about it, and the reason that we got involved in it so heavily, is because the credit unions are actively involved in leadership, not just internally, but right to extend the brand to the community and to be active leaders in the community. And I think that's what makes the credit union industry maybe not unique. I don't want to put any others down, but it certainly makes it special. The emphasis on that community leadership is really special. And I believe that's where the strong connection is between my message and what's happening in the credit union world.
Yeah, I think it's very important because, the industry is, I don't want to say they're clamoring for leadership, but I mean, again, there's a changing of the guard. There's new blood coming, and and you talk to recruiters and people of that like, and it's a challenge finding, you know, leaders these days. I mean, there's people internally that are qualified, and then there are people externally that could be brought in as well. I mean, do you address any of that type of stuff, you describe like the new leader today and one that's flexible. I mean, how does this benefit a credit union, one that's a flexible leader?
Well, first of all, you know, my emphasis is strictly on the human aspects of leadership.
Okay.
Plenty of people out there that are better qualified to deal with process, management technique, and so forth. My experience and my life has always been dedicated to the human aspects of it. And that's where, you know, again, it's very, very exciting because one of the challenges that we're facing, again, not just in credit unions, but credit unions have expressed this a lot, is that millennial generation, and now there's another one, I don't even know what the next acronym is.
They all have their own name.
They do. And it's not to ignore it, but the reason that it's not at the top of my mind is because, you know, each generation is still made up of people, and people have the same basic fundamental needs and desires and ambitions. Mm-hmm. We do need to adjust culturally a little bit here and there, but I think that's way overemphasized. If we get back to the basics and understand, you know, leaders and aspiring leaders as people, as human beings, then we're talking about satisfying these core competencies. And you brought up a huge one, the ability to be flexible.
Yep.
And I'm going to expand on that a little more. Dealing with uncertainty.
Okay.
Which, of course, is a metrics, right? You're going to measure an aspiring leader or a potential leader by their ability to deal with uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we hear more and more, especially, and no offense, but I'm pretty blunt when I'm speaking in front of these guys. I say, you know, the younger generation has a hard time dealing with uncertainty, right? Everything's been lined out the first time, first time a little bit of hardship for, you know, a few hard knocks come their way. A lot of them, not all, a lot of them can fold. The ones I was just doing a talk in Austin, and there was a young lady there. And when I said that, you know, she had that look on her face, and I knew it. I said, well, you know what? You're the exception to the rule. Because you're here, for one thing, right?
Yeah.
You're trying to learn, you're trying to improve, you're trying to get more comfortable with these different aspects, these strategies, tactics. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was impressive. We have to find more people like her, and we have to nourish them, we have to cultivate them, we have to support them, you know, as they take their lumps and start to develop as leaders. It's not an efficient process, is it?
No, it's not. It's kind of a trial by error, trial by fire, actually.
Right.
And I think I'm glad you brought that up because our most recent recession, my gosh, I mean, you can't have a greater example than that because of the established executive guard, if you will, the CEOs, they were about to retire, but then the recession came and hit and they stayed firm. They stayed with the ship, you know, and they weathered the storm and got through it and say, okay, now we're good. I can give the ship to the next generation to move on ahead. So, I mean, that's a great example about, you know, just, you know, weathering hardships and that's a big part of leadership.
Well, sure. It's a big part of life, you know? You know, it's not just that I'm helping people become better leaders, but helping leaders become better people. And we're trying to get back to that human aspect of it. You know, what else is more certain than uncertainty, right?
No doubt.
The only constant in life, according to Lao Tzu, I think he said this, 2,500 years ago? The only constant in life is change. So the better we are able to adapt to that and embrace that and you know, and seize the opportunities that are in it too. So this idea of stability, and I think it generally goes back for the new generation, to that trophy for showing up kind of mentality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But we're getting past that. And if we give these people an opportunity to embrace these challenges and to help, again, support them. Granted, it would have been nice if they learned that a little bit earlier, but it's where we are right now.
Right.
So let's give them the opportunity now. Let's get them out there. And they're going to make mistakes. Like I said, training leaders is not an efficient process. And that's one of the great challenges we have in leadership, is that through process, and when companies or organizations embrace that process or the system too much, right, mm-hmm. and ignore the human aspect of it, they forget that developing a person, developing a true leader, is not an efficiency, right? You can make a process more efficient.
Right.
Very difficult to make a human being, or the process of learning for a human being, more efficient. Good education is usually not efficient. It's a lot of, right? A lot of, like you said, trial and error and experience. You only gain wisdom through experience, not through efficiency.
Yeah, just go through any like final exam period in high school and college, and that's not a fun time. You know, that's a hard time. That's a hardship, by golly. Well,
I don't remember much of that.
I don't want to go back to those days. That was very stressful. But right. I mean, I'm glad I'm here. But that was, you know, trial by fire, the hardship, all that type of stuff. And you get through it. Yeah. You know, you get through it. You persevere and you become stronger on the other side.
Well, that's the intersection, too, that people really, I think, attach themselves to with my message, because what I do is largely based and drawn from my experience as a martial artist, 30-plus years doing that type of work. And, you know, that's what it's all about, right? That black belt mentality, that you're gonna go through hardship to get to.
Oh, yeah. There's lots of rungs on the ladder to get to where you are.
Lots of lumps upside the head. Yeah. That's so pretty, right?
Well, I didn't want to say that, but now that you bring it up.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, we talked about the flexible leader, and we talked about the different generations. I mean, how does a leader, like, say, 10, 20 years ago differ from a leader today? I mean, are there pros and cons, or how do you see that?
Yeah, you know, that's another debate that I try to stay out of, because I don't see a whole lot of difference.
Okay.
There's certainly, you know, there's always going to be, in the time, there's going to be challenges that are appropriate to that time. Mm-hmm. But we can always look to the past, right, for examples and principles of leadership. And really, the more you study, the more you find that there isn't really anything that we're facing that hasn't been faced before, right? Even when you expand it into technology, certainly we have new technology, we have new adventures there, right? Mm-hmm. But again, when we're talking about the human decisions, the way that you have to process the challenge, and let's use that in a generic form, really isn't much different from generation to generation, is it?
True.
And I think, right, we can lose the great lessons of the past if we ignore them. And so to me, it's a matter of going back and looking at the way people have handled adversity, uncertainty, challenges, and modeling ourselves after them to a degree.
Yep.
Now, at the same time, you have to put that in the context of the situation you're dealing with, right? And expand on that. And again, that's what martial artists do. We don't just learn a bunch of techniques and then someone attacks you, you go through a Rolodex, right? You know? It takes a little time.
Wait a minute, I got to think of this other move. Hang on.
Exactly. Some people think that's what we... No, no. The training really is to toughen the spirit, to toughen the mind and the body, right? Okay. So that when you face the challenge, you're going to have to innovate. You're going to have to be creative in that moment. Mm-hmm. And that's the imprint we're trying to deliver to leaders today. Much more important, like I said, the process, granted, that's important. There are people better suited to teach that. Mm-hmm. I can show you how to build yourself into a better person, a more responsive leader, mm-hmm. so that you can deal with those things on the roll.
Good. I mean, that's kind of segues into my next question. And you talk about the sensei leader. I mean, what are the characteristics of a person like that? And then how can they help a credit union out?
Yeah, well, and surprisingly, you know, it's neat. I think it might have been in San Antonio, and I was doing a credit union event, and I walked in, and they had the big screen up, right, with all these different keywords that were thematic to their conference. And I turned around and looked at it, and I said, "You see that stuff back there? That's all you need to know. You don't need me."
Thank you. I'm out.
Yeah. And three of the big ones that they hit on, it was really nice to see it. It was really validating to see it. Were three words that actually Confucius taught many, many years ago. But I came up with these three words through my leadership team program and my martial arts program, mm-hmm. dealing with kids.
Okay.
Each year as I was training them to be leaders, to be instructors, I'd ask them, I said, well, what are the key characteristics you want to see in a leader? You know, what are the characteristics in a person that you're going to follow willingly? Mm-hmm. And emphasis on that word willingly, mm-hmm. right? And we helped them a little with the semantic, but what they came up with basically was courage, compassion, and wisdom.
Okay.
Now, we have to make sure we define those terms, right? Those are the most human elemental things that we really need to look at. And when we're talking about courage, it's certainly not the absence of fear. That's stupidity, right? We're talking about compassion. We're not talking about weakness. We're talking about being strong. You can't be authentically compassionate and empathetic, right, from a position of weakness. That comes from strength. And wisdom, you know, that one, it's funny. We just debated that in a recent conference too, because people sometimes equate that with an elite vision of what wisdom is. Mm-hmm. It's not reserved for bald guys sitting around in a cave somewhere, right? No, wisdom should be a very common characteristic.
Yeah.
It's knowledge, certainly.
Yeah.
It's experience, certainly. But what my martial arts life taught me also is that it's knowledge and experience tempered by awareness. So you see, while we're talking about things that some people might consider very broad or maybe even a little esoteric, they're not. Mm-hmm. These are fundamental human qualities. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to express leadership, which I think is the highest expression of human expression, these are the three things that you must pay attention to. Almost everything else is extra. And we need to move organizations back to that realm where especially compassion's a big one right now.
I think so too.
Yeah. Yeah. People are looking for more compassionate ways to lead. Well, it's not rocket surgery, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's getting back to the basic, our basic humanity, understanding it and understanding that we have to cultivate it. And isn't it weird that sometimes the most basic fundamental things, we know this as martial artists, everything we do, even if you see a complex set of movements, right? What are they made of? Basic movements, right? Basic techniques.
Right.
And the more you pay attention and practice those basics, then the better able you are to deal with the complexity. Mm-hmm. You're just combining those basics.
Right.
So that's what we need to return to, right? That mentality. Mm-hmm. Let's get back to the basics.
That's the foundation, you know, from which you build. Exactly. Very cool. Very cool. And one of the things that kind of struck me in some of your materials is the wisdom of sharing. Now, credit unions are all about sharing because their mantra is people helping or the mission or... The philosophy basically is people helping people and the wisdom of sharing. That's really struck a chord with me. Can you expand on this a little bit?
Yeah. And again, that's one of the reasons I really love, you know, when I'm presenting to the CU audiences, I'm preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt. And that's cool because, you know, I believe validation is every bit as important as education. Again, if we're going to return to these basics, it's not just that we know about them, right? We have to practice them all the time. We have to keep reminding ourselves. We have to keep building and growing on that, reinforcing that. That's the trick.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly sharing is one of those. It's at the heart of every credit union message that I've heard. It's in the hearts of the people that I've met. And the people that I've seen that are successful that understand it, that's something that needs to be practiced. And here's why, right? We're talking at the root of the whole thing, we're talking about power, mm-hmm. right? The theme of the credit union, let's empower people. Let's make sure they can afford the things that they'd like to have and they need to have in their lives.
Yeah.
Power is you know, the philosophical definition of it is simply your ability or capacity to act or perform effectively, right? We shouldn't be afraid of that. We should be embracing that.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing is that power only expands through sharing. If you want to help people become more powerful, you have to share with them, right? If you want to become more powerful, you have to be a sharing person.
Yep.
Any one of us can only do so much. We expand by cultivating the talents, the abilities, the skills, the resources of the people around us. And that's how we in turn become more powerful, each of us.
Yeah.
And that's really what that means. So, you know, I could sum up everything that I teach very simply. Leadership is sharing.
Yeah.
A leader shares, right?
Yeah, I can't tell you how many leaders that I've talked to, like credit union CEOs or whatever, who pick up the phone and call their CEO friend at another credit union. What do you think about this technology? Or what do you think about this issue? Let's, you know, talk about it, or they get in a group or something like that, and they share ideas and they bounce things off of each other, because like you said, we only have so much capacity, you know, we can only handle so many things on our own. But when you have mentors or peers that you can share things with, man, that's power. Like you said, that's power right there.
It is. But there's, you know, there's two problems with it that I hear over and over again. I think it was Harvard Business Review published something about a year ago where one of the most, this article identified as one of the most costly mistakes we're making in business today is being proprietary, protecting turf.
Mm-hmm.
That be reputation, whether that be power, whether it be authority, right?
Yeah.
And it's dangerous because, first of all, again, you diminish that power. But it is understandable. People are protecting turf because they're afraid, well, what if I share with you and I train you and you take my position?
Yeah.
But quite the opposite happens, right? In an enlightened organization, and again, it's nice to work with credit unions because most of the organizations I've worked with fit this mold, right? When you share, when you expand, then there's room for all of us. And in fact, if I teach you to take my place, that frees me up to go on to bigger or better things, mm-hmm. or to apply my talents and abilities in more creative, more useful areas, or even just different areas, yeah. which keeps us fresh and keeps us growing, right?
Yeah.
Organizations that embrace that are the ones that outperform the competition. You don't worry about the comp. You know what? If you're all doing the same thing, another lesson from the ring, right? I'm only going to get better as a fighter if I'm fighting better people. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Be around yeah. people that are better than you. Yeah. I keep telling my kids that. Yeah. You know?
Exactly. So it's funny as it sounds, the fight is really, in the sport aspect, is a very sharing experience. Right?
Yeah,
that's that's what one with the enemy really means. So, no, it's really neat. But again, you see, we're getting back to the fundamentals of being people, interacting as people.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I mean, the whole sharing thing just is just. I love that's what I love about the credit union industry, and I think that's what everybody in it is all about as well, because you have people sharing technology, you have people sharing ideas and how to, like you said, how to get better over they, and then you have large credit unions helping small credit unions with resources and stuff like that. Gosh, it doesn't end with this industry, and it sounds like your message is jibing with that, because like you said, you know, you're preaching to the choir when you go to these things, and that's pretty cool.
No, it doesn't end with this industry, but what's really neat too is that credit unions are very well positioned to lead in that process, right? That what's working in the credit union industry can be shared with other industries.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And again, that's why I think it's so important, and I commend the effort of credit unions that express this through community leadership as well.
Yep.
All the credit union people that I've met, either through this business or even in my own community, they're like that, right? They go out, the outreach is very, very important.
Yes, it is.
Right? And as they're out there becoming more involved, in fact, most of the credit union people I met were serving on volunteer boards that I have to be involved with, right? Mm-hmm. I know that's a very important part of a credit union's mission. And yeah, that's how you do it. So when you're out there doing that, you're sharing it, you're drawing, you know, again, I love to quote Lao Tzu, but you know, he said, you know, expand the power of the people and the community expands, the power of the community expands, right?
Yeah.
That's so that's. True. It's an expandable pie. It's not a fixed sum.
Exactly. Right? That's what our industry is all about. Well, cool. Yeah. Well, Jim, I mean, anything else to wrap up? I mean, you have so much. I mean, talk about wisdom. You got a little bit there. So
no, it takes a little longer to write. We can just touch on the key points. So, hopefully we'll have many more conversations and we'll share ideas.
I agree. Where can folks find out more about your Sensei Leadership Program?
Oh, thanks for asking. First of all, yeah, thatblackbeltguy.com is the best way. That's the nexus to hit us.
Okay, yeah, I'm on the website right now on my other screen.
Great. So, and feel free to share also. We just started 8strategies.com, and that shares the 8 strategies you were talking about. It's a free online program, and people can get on there and really dig into it.
Very cool. I think this is such a timely topic for our industry right now, and I love talking to you. Look forward to the next time we get to chat about whatever you want to talk about. This is fantastic. So thanks, Jim. I appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.